Hello, everyone. Welcome. My name is Dietmar, and I'd like to welcome you to Dietmar's Chatterbox. I'm a South African living in London of German heritage. So I have a nice mix of ideas and societal experiences, which I hope to be able to share on this particular podcast. I've been meaning to do a podcast, to be honest, for quite a while, for quite a few years, and decided now is the time to do so. I mean, we are in a pandemic and we're all having to work from home, and I've been able to put some ideas down and let's see how it goes. So I hope you really enjoy my first attempt at a podcast, first time for everything. I'll be talking about many different things on this podcast. Some will deal with what I have the most experience in, i.e. domain names and their history. I'll also be talking about a variety of other topics, including Funko Pops, which are bubbleheads, for those that don't know what they are, technology, politics, and other issues of the day. To start off with, I have over 19 years worth of domain name experience, as well as experience in the finance sector, politics sector, and I'm currently involved in domain name consultancy. The most important thing that I'd like to get across initially, or firstly, is that the views expressed by me during this podcast are my own and do not represent the company that I work for. All of this is for personal use. So without further delay, let's start with episode one and the history of domain names and the creation of the internet. In the late 1960s, the government via the Department of Defense and Advanced Research Project Agency, or DARPA, decided that the transfer of packets of information via the telephone lines was the future and a necessity for national defense. It is interesting how many major breakthroughs in technology, science, etc., have initially been paid for by the defense infrastructure of most countries. For example, GPS. We're all quite comfortable using GPS. We all use it in our day-to-day lives, you know, to track our parcels that are coming from one of the online shopping facilities, when we're moving down the road, driving a car, taking a little walk, using a bicycle, etc. This was actually created by the US government originally to track and help point military vehicles more efficiently at their targets. But as I said, we take this for granted nowadays as a tool that we all benefit from. Each country, a few countries in the world are actually trying to put up their own GPS satellite network. But the US satellite network is probably the one that we were all most familiar with. So to be clear, it's not a bad thing that, you know, governments or defense sectors, etc., are involved in the development of stuff, as long as those inventions, etc., can be used by the general public at the same time. So back to DARPA. They approached universities and the private sector to create a method of transferring data. At first, it was small packets of data. So that packets of data are, as this suggests, packets, bits of information that are tied together that are moved from point A to point B. And this was thought of so as to transfer data from point A to point B in a secure and speedy way. You know, when you pick up telephone and you talk to somebody, you're passing data by voice, but you're not actually passing data that they can print off, for example, and store for a later use, etc. So in 1974, the first packet of data was sent. The interesting thing is that people like Vince Cerf, who, along with another gentleman called Bob Kahn, brought us the Transmission Control Protocol, or TCP, and Internet Protocol, or commonly known as IP, which are the main backbone of the Internet Protocol suite that we all use on a daily basis and take for granted. The first transmission of data between two points was a slow process and involved several universities. But when the first message was sent, that was the dawn of the Internet. It was slow purely from the fact that, as some of us of a certain age will remember, data storage devices and the method of connecting to the internet via dial-up modems, for example, is quite a slow and laborious process. I mean, today, if somebody was to move information from point A to point B, it's almost instantaneous because the internet nowadays is so much faster, so much more integrated into our lives. Another major breakthrough in how the internet was formed is the creation of the World Wide Web. This was conceived during 1989 and 1990 by a gentleman called Sir Tim Berners-Lee, who at the time was working at CERN in Switzerland as a computer scientist. He noticed that scientists within CERN were transferring data or communicating with each other using a multitude of protocols, and this meant that everyone had to know each other's methods of communication, or they would not be able to pass data to each other in an easy way. He came up with the concept of WWW, which we all use on a daily basis at this present moment in time, which resulted in a single standard being created, and that allowed websites and data to be viewed in a single resource. This was important as the actual creation, as almost as important, I should say, as the actual creation of the internet. The interesting thing is he did this for free and had to work hard to convince his bosses at the time of the need for such a standardized system, because at the time his bosses were pure theoretical scientists. So they did not necessarily see the benefit in the creation of the World Wide Web and a single protocol that could be people would use to transfer information between point A and point B. So just to clarify or recap, it's very important to remember that without Vint Cerf, Bob Kahn, Sir Tim, and others, there are many, many, many other individuals that were involved in the creation of the internet and the infrastructure of the internet, etc. Without these people, we would not have email, websites, blogs, podcasts, social media, and the world would be, to be perfectly honest, a very boring place. It is also important to recognize that the internet is driving the world forward. So with greater computing power, we're able to solve more complex questions and create vaccines, for example, which is very, very important in the current world that we live in with COVID-19 and its variants, etc. The internet also allows random individuals to share their views, like myself, and somewhere, in some bedroom or in some university or in some office, there is somebody that is coming up with the next big invention or theory or story and is sharing it with their peers and the public, and we're all far richer for this. So now let's get back to the history of domain names. So 1995 and the creation of domain names, or the public creation of domain names. As 1995 rolled on, and the idea of the internet was finally released to the public in a free manner. So a lot of the governmental involvement in the internet came to an end at the end of 1964. It became quite important that domain names were created and utilized. So it became quite an important resource for companies, individuals, etc. But as with most new technologies, a lot of traditional businesses did not see the value of domain names. They always thought that their traditional method of marketing, for example, or communicating with their clients would continue indefinitely, and that the internet was just a fad. So when domain names came along in 1995, this created an opportunity for individuals who had the foresight to purchase popular terms, etc., before the general public became fully aware of domain names. One of the first names to be registered was called symbolic.com. So symbolic.com. This was registered on the 28th of January 1995 and is still registered. It has passed hands a couple of times since 1995, to be honest, but it is still an important name purely because it was the first. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your viewpoint, this is domain names became a very interesting time back. Became involved in a very interesting time back in 1995. Domain names and the domain name market, you could look at it as the Wild Wild West at the time. Not WWW as in the World Wide Web, but the Wild Wild West. And there were quite a few people. I won't mention their names, but those in the industry will know who I'm talking about. They bought names in the early 90s, so 1995 onwards. And some of them have made a ton of money out of domain names, you know, either through reselling those names or creating businesses around those names or using those names for traffic, SEO, etc. And there were also, due to other people buying it, there were a lot of companies that have had to pay a large premium for their names as they did not see the value of the domain names at the time they became public. Another name that was registered early on was called sex.com. This domain name has a very, and I stress that, very checkered history. There have been attempted murders, fraud, kidnapping, legal challenges, theft of the domain name, damage to property, etc. So throughout its entire history. Another thing that's quite interesting about sex.com, it is one of the most expensive domain names out there. It's valued currently in the region of about $30 million, and apparently makes the current owner a bucket load of money in SEO, traffic, etc. Naturally, not a lot of this stuff is public knowledge, but it is known that name makes quite a bit of money. There are examples of other names which have got great value, but none of these have as interesting or as checkered a past as sex.com. Going back to one of my points earlier, some companies viewed domain names as a passing fad, and they felt that traditional marketing, print, etc., was the future. For a while, they were correct for a while, to be brutally honest. But the way we digest content has changed immensely since the launch of domain names in 1995, public launch of domain names in 1995. The first .com names were sold through a company called Network Solutions, and Network Solutions were both the registrar and the registry. Now, I'll be going into separate episodes at a later stage on these two types of entities, a registry and a registrar, and also explaining how they fit into the domain name environment as a whole. So how does that impact you as a user of domain names, for example? The price of .com names was actually quite high initially. It ranged in around about the $175 mark per year, which in comparison to today would seem quite extortionate, would seem quite high. But at the moment, in the domain name industry, there is quite a variety of domain names that are out there for people to purchase. And there are quite a variety of extensions that are out there. And this has kept costs, generally speaking, low. Now, I will be doing further episodes on traditional domain name extensions. So that's the part after the dot in your domain name. So we'll be looking at things like .com, biz, info. Then we'll also be looking at things like what they now call new generic top-level domain names or generic top-level domain names. For example, .club, .shop, .sky, etc. And also country code domain names, or as they are commonly referred to as ccTLDs. So these are examples of these are .uk, for example, .de for Germany, etc. But by the end of the 1990s, domain names and businesses built around their sale or creation had jumped in value, and some companies were valued at astronomical prices and were listed on stock exchanges, etc. And this made a lot of the owners extremely rich, to be brutally honest. Some people made a lot of money when they sold their businesses on to others. This included traditional companies and new technology energy companies, for example, Enron. But as most of us are aware, or those of us of a certain generation are aware, in 2000, the bubble burst. And this resulted in the value of these companies plummeting. Many of them went bankrupt and disappeared completely. So just went away. and the world's financial markets crashed in 2000. This is commonly referred to as the 2000 bubble and the big burst, if you want to put it in other terms. But domain names as a whole are quite an interesting topic. They've been around for a while, since 1995, as I say, in the public domain. But back in 1950, that's when the whole concept of the internet started to gather pace. And as I've mentioned earlier, there were certain events throughout the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even the 90s that that resulted in domain names and the internet becoming quite an important aspect in most of our lives. So I appreciate I've given everyone quite a bit of information on my first attempted podcast and my first episode. And if anybody has any questions, please feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to have a chat with people. I enjoy the topic. And I have other, you know, exciting bits of information. So if anybody would like to have a chat, you know, feel free to reach out to me. I look forward to providing further information and history of the domain name market over the next few weeks in various episodes, talking about various types of topics, i.e., like I said earlier, you know, what's the relationship between a registrar and a registry? I'll also be talking about the regulatory body, which is commonly referred to as ICANN, as well as how do governments impact on policy and regulation. So there's quite a bit of information, quite a bit of stuff that I'll be talking about over the next few weeks, which relate with relation to domain names, etc. Before I get on to other topics like Funko Pops, technology, politics, etc. So I hope that you've enjoyed the first my first attempt, and I look forward to inviting you all back again in the next week or so. And please subscribe to the podcast so that you obviously get, you know, notification when a new one comes out. And so bye for now. Have a great day, and always remain positive no matter what the situation is you're in. Also, if you're feeling down or if you're feeling out of sorts, always remember there are people out there, your friends, family, etc., that you can have a talk to. You know, just have a chat, get everything off your chest, and then you'll feel better. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening. And this is Dietmar from Chatterbox signing off. Thank you. Bye-bye.